Before our second scripture is read, will you please pray with me for illumination? Sweet Lord, we are about to hear more from your holy scriptures. Lord, open our eyes and our ears. Help us to perceive the word of light that we so long to hear today. In Christ, we ask this. Amen. Today, we are hearing a piece from Revelation, a beautiful scripture beginning in chapter 21, verse 1 through verse 6. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with people, and he will live with people. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was in seminary, of course, we studied the New Testament, of course. And when we got to Revelation, the first thing the professor said to me, Dr. Virgil Cruz, fabulous, fabulous teacher, the first thing he said to all of us in that class was, "Here comes the Holy Spirit." And you must never preach that in a Presbyterian church because they will think you are insane. They will drive you out because it is deeply uncomfortable. "Poor Revelation," he said. "Nobody pays attention to Revelation, for it is so weird. And strange things happen to people when they spend too much time with this book." And that is how it began, the study of Revelation. And here I have a giant stink bug that has just landed on my sermon. Excuse me. You see what happens when you start in with Revelation? You just never know what strange things could happen. But I dare not kill that little creature of God. A little bit about the history of the book of Revelation. The tradition says it is by the Apostle John, the disciple John, yes, and that it was written between 54 and 96. Huge time. They can't really quite decide because there's lots of different arguments for different time periods according to different kinds of persecution happening to the Christian people that would give rise to the writing of such a book. It is also called the Apocalypse. Apocalyptic literature is about the end times, right? It is popularly understood that this is about what is going to happen in the end of days. Many people have read this book, and I'm telling you, if you read it cold without much understanding about what was going on with the history, you too will walk away saying, man, is this weird? What the heck does this mean? It is full of symbolic language. I have read it in the original Greek and translated it. Torture! Because the verbs are all over the map. The vocabulary is strange. It comes from all over the place. Clearly, this was written by someone who was not very fluent in Greek, and it was written with great emotion and intensity. And there's a good argument that says there's no way John could have written this as well as the Gospel of John, because they appear to be just completely different handwriting. However, there is a larger school of thought that says it may well have been the same writer. First this one, and then later written the Gospel, when things became a little more peaceful. Well, having said all that, there are schools of thought that also say, when you read this book, if you stop being afraid, if you read it and stop judging it as strange, you will find laced throughout this whole book incredibly rich and beautiful symbols that speak beyond your mind to your heart and your soul. And that if you soak in this, you will not truly be made peculiar, but you will truly be comforted. For the bottom line message of Revelation is all about deliverance and love. And it is about getting your priorities straight. Who is God? Historically speaking, the big push in this revelation was to make it crystal clear that emperor worship was not to be tolerated by Christian people, that they needed to walk away from that completely, that there was no compromise. You cannot serve two masters, right? There are those that believe that this book is all about the historical context of the first century, that the meaning for us in contemporary America is utterly lost, that there's no point whatsoever in studying Revelation because we can't possibly know what was happening completely, that these symbols were meant for a certain people at a certain time, and they're just really not for us. Fling! There is another school of thought that says this is all about a history written in symbolic language, right? That if only we had a few keys, we could understand this to be a secret language about events that have happened. That also dismisses the importance of Revelation, I think. There are those who see this as specifically about a future that has not happened, right? The end times. That none of this will make any sense until the day of reckoning, right? And there are idealists who say that all of this is about universal truths, timeless truths. Confused yet? How many people are still awake and listening? I know, Revelation is tough. Look at this scripture, what we have read for today. What is the message for you and for me and Northwood? What is the message for your individual lives, for our whole corporate lives? I think that you will find you can hold all of these schools of thought in one heart of faith. Listen again. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I am making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. In Jesus Christ, we are saved. It is done. In Jesus Christ, we shall know the spring of the water of life. This is an assurance of what has gone before and what lies ahead, and that we are held between those two gentle wings, cared for and deeply treasured. God is love.